Recent reports of surges in Muslim immigration to the United States are raising concerns that domestic terrorism threats could soon be on the rise as well. What are the facts on this story? Should immigration in general, or among Muslims in particular, be curtailed? Author and columnist Paul Sperry has written extensively on this issue. He is the author of Infiltration, How Muslim Spies and Subversives Have Penetrated Washington. In a recent column for Investors Business Daily, Sperry suggests immigration problems in Europe also give America plenty of incentive to rethink our own policies. And Paul, thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you.
What do we know for sure about the rate of Muslim immigration to the United States? Are we seeing a spike in that area?
Yeah, it's a huge surge under Obama. Over the last 3 years, he's averaged 100,000 new immigrants from Muslim nations a year. And that is very alarming. It's more than we're importing both immigrants from Central America and Mexico combined. So this is a big shift in immigration flows. And a lot of these are so-called refugees from Iraq and Syria and Somalia. And I believe a little under 50,000 of these have come in from Iraq. And now they're planning on increasing the refugees, immigrants from Syria. Now, Syria has always been on our terrorist list, and we have had very strict restrictions on Syrian immigration. But since Syria has become a failed state, Obama has increased the number of refugees. By the time he leaves office, we will be importing over 10,000 Syrians into this country. And this is a concern because, of course, Iraq and Syria are now controlled by the Islamic State, ISIS.
Paul, are we accepting these folks into the country pretty much in bulk, or is there some sort of screening process to determine whether or not they do pose any sort of national security threat?
Well, at the top levels of the administration, DHS and so forth, they claim that these refugees are being vetted, but it's a complete farce. And we know that from testimony from the FBI officials who are in charge of that type of vetting process for terrorists coming in under visas and these refugee programs. And they admit under oath that they have no idea who these people are, and they can't find out, what type of backgrounds they have, criminal terrorism or otherwise, because there is no vetting opportunities. You can't vet somebody if you don't have documentation, police records, et cetera. And, of course, Iraq and Syria are now failed states. And the police, there are no police records. And so we are not vetting these folks, as it turns out. Not at all. We have no idea if they're going to come to this country, coming here to escape terrorism, or if they're going to carry out terrorism, and that's the real reason they're coming. We have no idea, and they admit as much. And for all we know, they could be joining a sleeper cell here.
We're talking with author and columnist Paul Sperry. And Paul, does the administration simply chalk up the increased numbers to the refugee status from some of these countries, or are there other reasons, either stated or unstated, that these numbers are rising?
Yeah, the main reason is they're chalking it to the refugee scenario. However, and something I didn't get into in this particular column, but I have in the past, is the number of Saudi students. The visas for students from Saudi Arabia has skyrocketed under Obama after this deal he secretly cut with former King Abdullah, the late king, and you're seeing all sorts of young Saudi men flooding our college campuses at the same time right now. So that's separate and apart from the refugee scenario.
In your column, you say there should be a lot of lessons our government, our leaders should be learning from the massive influx of Muslim immigrants in Western Europe. What are the key lessons to be learned there?
Well, just three off the top of is Copenhagen and Brussels and Paris. You had these no-go zones where these terrorists came from. They're just breeding grounds for these type of terrorists, and so many of these European Muslims are going over and joining ISIS, and many of them are coming back to carry out attacks. and they opened the floodgates for North African Muslims. Now they regret it, of course. It's too late. So Europe regrets doing what we're doing now. We're the ones who are rolling out the welcome mat for Muslims from these hostile nations. It's really insane what we're doing. And no one's really talking about it, but this mass immigration from Muslim countries poses a serious national security threat.
Do you, through your reporting and your research, get the feeling that our country or any jurisdictions in our country are starting to drift towards no-go zones? We obviously don't have those, but do you get the sense that that sympathy is building in that area?
Oh, yeah. We have. See, this is what just is so frustrating when politicians get up there. They never get out of their office there in Capitol Hill when they say, oh, our Muslims are so much more better assimilated in their Western eyes and they love America, unlike the European Muslims. That is just nonsense on stilts. These folks, these politicians need to get out and go into some of the communities just in their backyard. Alexandria, Virginia, for example, Bailey's Crossroad. They actually called that area Northern Virginia Stan. Then you have Dearbornistan, Michigan, and Minneapolis, which is we've brought in so many Somalian refugees that they've turned Minneapolis into a terror hotspot. I mean, they are very belligerent, very aggressive about asserting their culture onto the West. And you know, Minneapolis mayor now is wearing a hijab when she meets with Muslim leaders. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then, of course, in Dearbornistan, they've agreed to allow them to blare their call to prayer over the loudspeakers in violation of the noise ordinances in cities around Detroit. So that's coming to the rest of America if we keep importing this many Muslims. It's not just a terrorist threat. There's also a criminal threat and a cultural threat. Now, the criminal threat stems from we're seeing spikes in domestic violence in these communities because this is allowed under the Quran to beat your wife if she quote-unquote disobeys you. We're seeing more honor killings where under these Sharia law, if a young daughter who's a Westerner or adopts Western clothing or dates a non-Muslim, it's incumbent upon, it's the duty, in fact, they believe, of the father or the brother to actually kill the daughter. And then there's also what we're seeing more and more of, and we just saw a big report out of the Justice Department. They're worried about all these refugees, especially Iraq and Somalia, carrying out genital female mutilation. This is mutilating young girls, little girls. We're seeing hundreds of thousands of these cases in America.
Paul, just a couple of minutes left in our conversation here. You have started to advocate changes in immigration policy. What do you think the smartest approach is?
Well, I mean, during World War, we're in the middle of a war against Muslim terrorists. During World War II, we not only blocked immigration of Germans and Japanese, but stopped naturalization of those already here. And we certainly did not open the floodgates to war refugees from those countries in the middle of the war. And what we need to do, and there's a DHS actually keeps a list, and I report it in infiltration. I list these countries. They have a list of Muslim countries who are most hostile to the U.S. in the West, and they rank them. And we can start with those countries for a moratorium, putting some curbs on immigration from these countries. I mean, our FBI doesn't have the resources to even get a handle on all of the ISIS jihadist threat homegrown terrorists in the Muslim community. And now we're going to lay on top of that all these new immigrants who are even potentially more radical on top of that threat matrix. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Paul, some folks may listen to that and say, sure, a percentage of Muslims could present huge problems to our national security, but many do not. Is there an effective screening process that could be implemented, even if our government right now isn't adhering to that? And would that be preferable to keeping everyone out?
we just don't have the information. The FBI admits they do not have the information on the ground that they need, unless the FBI is going to go into these failed states, which isn't going to happen, to rely on. They do not have the police records, the police reports, that they can make objective decisions on these folks coming in. So it's a pure sympathy play to let all these folks in on blind trust, and we just cannot do that. We have to have moratoriums here. And this is the assumption that we're making, that all Muslims coming in from these countries, hate the terrorists, and they love America, and they love our culture. That's a naive assumption. I mean, time and time again, we've seen that we've been burned on that. And, I mean, we've also already had examples of Iraqis we brought in Kentucky who turned out to be raising money for Al-Qaeda. These were so-called refugees. We have all these Somalis who came into Minneapolis. The FBI is camped out there now. I mean, it's so bad. They're being churned out in the mosques there and going over and joining Al-Qaeda and as well as ISIS and Al-Shabaab. So why would we want to import a culture that is hostile to America, and one that promotes violence against non-Muslims and women? I mean, the examples of the folks coming over here who are oppressing women and doing violent acts against women is well documented, and we're ignoring that to our own detriment.
Paul, unfortunately, we'll need to call time there. Thank you, sir, very much for your time and your insight today.
Thank you, Greg.
Absolutely. Paul Sperry is an author and columnist. His book is Infiltration, How Muslim Spies and Subversives Have Penetrated Washington. He recently wrote about immigration policy for Investors Business Daily in a column you can find on their site. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.